sisters on Twitter.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And let's thank Matthias Angala with the Twilight. And now is the time that we discuss affairs of governance, politics, and economy, especially from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is a platform that we encourage constructive criticism, particularly at the beginning of the day, and see what can we contribute. We contribute one or two, especially to national developmental priorities. And it's 5 minutes past the hour of 6, and the 6th of February 2026, and we understand that February is a very fast month. We are already on Friday. It's already a Friday, and by the time you wake up, we are in August. That's why we are always encouraging you to say, wake up, show up, and do the best that you can do, especially during the morning. And there is one thing that we always advise, especially in the morning, to say. One of the things is not about celebrating achievement and celebrating success, but celebrating your inner muscle and the fighting spirit that you have. Because one of the things that is not encouraged at school is ability to stand up, no matter how many times you are knocked down. That child who does not give up, whether he or she is getting 2 over 100, that guy is always committed, is always coming to school. And the researchers are indicating that those are people that are going to be successful one day in life, because life is not only rewarding academic success, it's also not rewarding only talented, but rewarding resilience, rewarding your inner spirit, your fighting spirit, to say, no matter how many times I'm going down, I have to wake up and move forward. And not only waking up using the same strategy, because there's a saying to say, if life knock you down, don't immediately wake up, because the same punch which put you down can also take you down again. Pause a little bit, think, and come up with a strategy before you stand up. But what is necessary, especially on this Friday, is your inner muscle to say, man, this project, I've been doing it for the whole year, but it's not coming. This project I've been pushing for 5 years is not coming. What can I do? But the fact that you still have that inner muscle, and should be encouraged, actually, especially to those who are not academically gifted, to those who are not talented, or they are talented, but they are not able to identify their talent at that moment. But if you are not able to give up, if you are not able to give up easily in the battle of life, you are going to be the soldier and the hero and the general who will be able to overcome. Because in the time of difficultiness, intelligence can disappear. Talent can also wane, but your fighting spirit is what is necessary. That's why we must also encourage each other. Because what you have, I don't have it. What I have, you don't have it. That is why you find, a person with a talent and a person with a fighting spirit fighting each other. A person who has talent but is not encouraged should be motivated. And that with a talent can be able to assist another person. That's why, especially today, when we are going to discuss about issues of think tanks, we are going to indicate to say, you can't do it all. You need a tank that think. You need the association of collected wisdom and expertise that can be able to advise you. That's why think tanks and development, they go hand in hand. And that is exactly one of the center of the conversation that we are going to have. On top of that, we are also today going to listen to one of the manager of, IT company. That is Leith Collie from South Africa, and he's going to speak about technology and also development in business. And that is also going to be part of the conversation of today. Where are you? Where are you today? Are you on your way to work? Are you going back home? Are you still sleeping? How far are you with your goals? And are you looking toward Valentine's Day? And life is not ending on Valentine's Day. And instructions were given. They are very clear. To say this thing of being creative and using money to make, Valentine flowers should stop, because money should be respected because it's a national asset. And on top of that, should be respected at least by something. And buy life flower. And money should be given in a different form. Maybe you make a transaction, but making money or using money to make flour is not encouraged, particularly to the central bank, because that is the only imported transferring asset or imported element that used in the economy, especially in terms of acquiring assets and also services. And should be respected. And Valentine is coming. Who is your partner? And people must also be able to understand that even if you are single, you can still be able to celebrate Valentine. Because you know what? It's about celebration of love. You can take your grandmother out. It's not about, only love beds. You can take your sister out. You can take your niece or nephew out. You can... just say I love you to somebody, because in the African tradition, as a man, you cannot tell your father to say, "Daddy, I love you," and the elders will sit that day to say, "No, they are coming from town, and now they are telling us that they love us," because there is some element of militancy in the African tradition. But when you go to the Western tradition, it's a bit different. You can't tell your father that you love your father. You can show that you love him, but you cannot say it, and. I think that is a commonality in most of the African culture. But doesn't mean that you hate a person, but just a different way of communicating. But your mother, you can tell her. But if my son come to me and say, "Daddy, I love you," I have to think twice. But that is coming from the background. But love should be there. Love should be celebrated. And we move forward to say, you don't need to beat yourself too much if Valentine, you are finding Valentine without a partner. But yeah, that's a discussion of another day. Let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. And remember that today we also have our e-paper, the Villager newspaper, as always, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. We will be able to give you content and context of economic affairs. So what is happening in Africa? Let us start with Ghana and Zambia. Social media hype and happiness, especially people speaking about the attire of the president of Ghana, that is John Mahama. It's called Ghanaian Fugu. It's a Ghanaian, traditional attire that he was wearing, especially visiting Zambia. But the center of the news here is that Ghana and Zambia signed a visa-free trade or visa-free travel agreement. It means that you don't need a visa anymore traveling between Ghana and Zambia. And seeing here President John Mahama and President Hakainde Hichilema, it shows that the unity of Africa, and also one of the best way also to promote mutual beneficial relations, and also boost trade, because that has been the dream of Africa, to say visa-free Africa, Africa with one passport, Africa with one currency, Africa with one army, and Africa with, at a certain point, with one president, the United Africa, the Africa that you want. But it seems like the dream is taking a shape, but we are moving slowly, but we are getting there, moving slowly, but we are getting there. Maybe who is next is Namibia and Ghana. Who is next is Namibia and Zambia. Who is next is the whole African continent. And stated that Ghana and Zambia have agreed to abolish visa requirement for each other citizens, marking the major step toward closer regional integration and easier cross-border movement. The deal was confirmed by Ghana Foreign Minister, that is Samuel Okuzeto during President John Dramani Mahama official visit to Zambia. And the three-day trip focus on expanding diplomatic relations, strengthening of economic partnership, fostering strong and strong ties between population of both countries. And looking at the history of Ghana, you will be able to understand that Ghana was it's Ghana and Zambia actually. They are one of the first African countries to get independence in the 59 and the 60s. One of the first African countries to get independence, and they paved ways for other African countries to get independent. But the goal was bigger than liberation struggle. But the goal was centered in Pan-Africanism and making sure that Africa is one. And looking at the history of Ghana and Zambia, Ghana, you know, produced some of the most influential.
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99. 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99. 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99. And 10 kg Bokomo fat cook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at furmanbrock.com. We care.
Looking at Ghana, especially from Kwame Nkrumah there, it seems like the spirit is still there. The spirit of Pan-Africanism is still there because we want free trade. We want to access that 1.5 billion population. We want to access that market. And we see, and it's a news which came with a lot of, people are celebrating. And they are focusing on the attire of, John Mahama. No, it's African tradition attire. Instead of wearing a suit, and it changed the whole game. It has changed the whole game, and it seems like Africa. We are coming back to our roots. We are coming back to our roots because even if you look at the speech of Mahama at UNGA, and also what he was wearing, especially at the international forum, you realize to say, Africa, we are getting a certain position, we are getting a certain posture, and the width of transformation is there, although it's moving slowly. And maybe it's high time also to African young people also to say that it's quite necessary to look inward first, quite necessary to support the local business, and it's quite necessary to utilize what is yours, because, some of the clothes just need the good marketing, some of the clothes just need the proper marketing. And just a person of influence to wear them and also promote them. And on top of that, then we can support African brand. And maybe we'll also be wearing Fugo with pride. And I'm also planning to get mine to see if I'll be able to fit on that. But what is necessary is sharing of common culture and also sharing of one spirit of Pan-Africanism. And also moving forward. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then we look at the case of Nigeria. Then we look at international trade before we come back at home.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi kono kwanda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe, and it's 20 minutes past the hour of 6. And looking at Nigeria, it was indicated that the Nigerian president, that is Bola Tinubu, deployed army following Kwara State massacre. And, what's happening in Nigeria? Require critical attention, especially when the fight against jihadists is not coming to an end. And you must be able to understand that yesterday, the American Army, African Commando, has put boots on the ground in Nigeria, especially to assist with the fighting of terrorism, particularly at the northern region. However, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has deployed an army battalion to Kwara State, and also after the assault targeting Wolo village that happened late on Tuesday, after just gunmen stormed the community in the evening, burning shops and traditional palace, as residents have fled to different directions within that region. And in this case, it stated that no group has claimed the responsibility, but the state has blamed terrorist cells, where President Tinubu has pointed to Boko Haram jihadists. And remember that a fight between Boko Haram and the Nigerian government have started a long time ago. And understand that understanding terrorism, you don't only look at what they do, but also look at their ideology, look at what is motivating them, and also who are these people. Remember that Boko Haram are not just criminals or bandits, but it's organized terrorists that, they have doctors, they have engineers, they even have structures such as chief of logistics, head of planning, communication, and the medics. That's why it's very difficult to defeat such organized terrorist. That's why they also have suppliers in international affairs. They build relations with other terrorists such as Al-Qaeda, and they have their plan. That is why fighting terrorism these days is not only about a group of bandits, but you need technical know-how, and they can cause damage, and it can also cause casualty, particularly to the military personnel. That is why when you look, for example, in DRC, the fight of M23 is not the fight of any other terrorist. That's why when you go there, you must be prepared, especially to be prepared in terms of military technology. If your drone are freezing, M23 will be able to engage you. Ask the South African peacekeeping mission, especially when it was deployed in DRC, you realize to say the military capability of African terrorists. They are shocking us to say, are these really terrorists? Are these really people without state? Or is a state fighting another state? And Africa need to be very careful, especially when it's coming to stabilization and also coordination between countries, because terrorists do not have a region. They fight across borders and must be handled properly and with care, because they don't only kidnap people, they kill, destroy, and sabotage infrastructure. And Bola Tinubu has a very big responsibility. And you must also be careful, especially religions have divided countries. That's why when you look at Nigerian north, a bit of Christians, then you look at the south, a bit of Muslims. And these ideologies, these religious ideologies and philosophies, they are not fitting on each other. And that's why you find those who are using religious ideology to pursue their interest. They make it difficult too to others, particularly when it comes to moving forward. Yeah, while we are here, apart from AGOA extended, seems like China has also come up with a trade strategy, especially in trading with South Africa. And the Minister of Trade of China indicated that China will allow duty-free imports of some South African products under deal being finalized as Pretoria seek diversify its markets. And looking at this context, it seems like President Cyril Ramaphosa made up his mind to say, I'm now moving to the east, although I also keep the west. Because when you look at what have happened last year, when AGOA was not extended, and when tariffs started to come into effect, particularly November there, what South Africa have done is that they came up with a trade desk that was assisting all the business people who were affected by those 30% tariffs. Then they advised to say, we are going to assist you to look for different markets. We are going to assist you to look for European markets, to look for Asian markets, to look for continental market, and also other markets. That's why when you see trade deals being done in China, you realize that it's not a counter AGOA. You realize that to say, to make sure that even if AGOA can also benefit South Africa, they also find their permanent market there in Asia. And when it's come to trade, China is playing a very slow, but it's a very long trade game that is mutually beneficial, but it's also in the interest of China and South Africa. And also to us, big brother, we are the small brother or maybe the small sister. We are looking at South Africa to say, if you have that expansion, China is also our main guy in terms of trade, then that can also be advantageous to us. But you need to understand one thing, to say South Africa being a bigger player in the continent and being an influential market in SADC, South Africa is trading less with SADC. That market that we are fighting for, that market that we depend so much, is less. South Africa is trading less with SADC than trading with external world. I think it's around 10% there. It's around 10 to 8% there trading internal. The amount of money that we are getting through this SACU revenue, the trade that we are getting with South Africa. Remember that South Africa has a bigger market outside than what we do. To us here, is our main guy. But we are not, just look at the ranking who are the top five trading partners of South Africa. It's not Lesotho, it's not Botswana, it's not Namibia. It's China, it's Canada, other countries. But to us, to Namibia, to Botswana, to South Africa, to Lesotho, and Switzerland, Eswatini, not Switzerland, Eswatini, former Swaziland, South Africa is our main trading partner. Then you realize how big South African economy is. And when they are expanding out, they are diversifying. We should also learn something to say diversification can also be the way, because South Africa has bigger problems to deal with in the world. So that is what is happening, especially in that context. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at the conversation between HD and the IT manager, or the MD for IT company in South Africa, especially when we speak about technology and business development and the use of technology in upliftment of business development. And we'll continue with the conversation. And remember that the Villager newspaper for today is out. And make sure that you get an opportunity to read through and expand your thinking, and also be able to make quality economic decision. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
us. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana unongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa bora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The
Early Birds Catches the Worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are going to listen to the conversation between my colleague HD and also Leith Collier, CMD, one of IT management company in South Africa, especially speaking about the importance of technology and business development. Stay tuned.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined by Leith Collier, who is the Managing Director of Pink Elephant over in South Africa. Leith, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Great. The sun is shining. I cannot complain.
Excellent. Thank you once again for making time for us today. So let's get right into it. Please give us an overview of your career journey and what your role entails today.
Great. So, yes. My career journey has largely comprised of service management, but very much specifically around how technology supports people, processes, and business outcomes. Mm-hmm. So I started out in service delivery and sales, working closely with customers, seeing how technology can either enable a business or actually frustrate a business. Over time, I've moved into leadership roles, and the focus has been on building sustainable services, mm-hmm. stronger teams, and a scalable operation. Today, yes, I am the Managing Director of Pink Elephant South Africa. My role is about setting direction, giving or ensuring execution of consulting, managed services, education, mm-hmm. and ultimately making sure that technology investments translate into value.
Excellent. Now, Leith, for the listeners, can you...
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, sorry for that technical issue, and we'll continue with the conversation, and we'll listen to the interview, especially from 7:30 there, especially when HD will be able to communicate with the MD. One of the technological company in South Africa. And from 7:30 there, you'll be able to listen to the conversation. For now, let us expand. Let us look at what we have on the table today, especially when we'll be speaking about the think tank, to say what is a think tank, what is the necessity of having a think tank in Namibia, and also what is the contribution of think tanks in development. Because, looking at history, you'll be able to see that in the African tradition, when you have done something, when a young man have committed a crime, there is always a saying to say, go and speak to your family. And when you are going to, then people say, go and speak to your family, it doesn't necessarily mean that you go to and speak to anybody. Go speak to your parents, your father. But your father will also seek counsel and seek advice. And there is always this saying to say, the decision of elders take time, and you tell something to your uncle, to your grandfather, and he'll just be there, crossing his eyes and thinking, to say, I will revert back to you. But after, 2 days, this person will be able to come to you with a well thought of decision, advice, and also analyzed decision that can be able to assist you And it also happens in the form of leadership to say, African tradition has also been so well organized to say, when you have a young leader within a community, there is always a council. There is always a council which is there to make sure that this young man, although he may be able to understand the change in terms of time, in terms of long term, he needs the counsel of elders. That's why those of you who love African movie, African Magic Plus, those days when you watch and carefully analyze this literature of African people, especially Nigeria, Ghana, and also part of Senegal and Uganda, you realize to say, when there is always a group of councils, older men surrounding the king, when they are saying Igwe, so it is very old people wearing red caps and, you know, sometimes having walking stick because they are old. But that is a think tank. When there is a problem within a kingdom, those ones, they have to sit and advise the king to make a decision. Why do you, and there is always a question to say, why do we keep these old people? Why do we keep them? Because in life, and mostly in African philosophy and leadership, age is associated with wisdom. And there is a perception to say, the more older you are, the more experienced you are, the more life you have seen. And your role now is not to be actively moving, but sit and give advice. And that is African think tank, to say you can be advanced in terms of technology, but somebody who has seen life will be able to anticipate what will happen to you in the next 10 to 20 years based on the decision, based on the discussion. Even before you make a decision, that will be able, that person will be able to assist you. We are taking that background of African tradition to say, how do we, what is the context of African think tank, and what is the necessity of modern think tank now in development? I'm talking this because yesterday there was a discussion, especially when the Ministry of Trade, International Relations and Trade, you know, is an occasion of association of you know, former ambassadors. And the minister has indicated to say, these ambassadors, former, retired, this association which was started 12 years ago by the president of Namibia when she was a minister of foreign affairs, the aim is to be a think tank and to give advice to the young professionals within the area, particularly in expanding and expanding Namibia national, Namibia foreign policy in the globe. That is very interesting now to see, to say that relevance and recognition is what we needed. It is what Namibia needs now, not only within foreign affairs, in economics, in trade, in security, in academia, in leadership, even in SOEs. Where are the former CEOs? Where are the former MDs? So that they will be able to advise. Because what we lack in our country, and what we do not have, think tanks. And in Namibia, and the people confuse think tanks, because I'm not talking about political party think tanks. Political party think tanks have also the same structure, but this is just a group of experts to come up with a political strategy, but for the interest of a political party. But think tanks at the national level, they look at critical issues from security, education, trade, economics, foreign affairs, and development. Have you ever thought about contradicting the data of World Bank or IMF? Could it be that even if there is some miscalculation, or there is some duplication of data within the report of IMF, we are most likely not to criticize it because we think it's a big institution. But can you do that in the US? Can you do that in UK? Can you do that in Russia? Can you do that in China? Because if you look at the universities around the world, they are always centers of studies. Centers of studies. And maybe that is now the time to incorporate, to say, let us not throw away our wisdom due to advancement in terms of technology. Because when you want to keep up, you need the old, the new, and the future. That is the only game that we are going to win. But if you want to change every day, we are bringing new people to say we have fresh mind. Fresh mind on what ground? Fresh mind on what ground? And the think tank also, in the form of research, will be able to give up-to-date information. We'll be able to give up-to-date information because we have old, you have the new, then you have the future. So let us look at back to school, top score. Then we continue the conversation for today.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uyakofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe danamibia oshipu nengono lando kashako oko KG imwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi Longwashe, ndeto SMS o shicha, instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulmo milongo natunali mwe amarija, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
We move forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at the importance of think tanks in national development. Have you ever thought about why analysts were so criticizing the formation of a lot of committees in Namibia? Committees, task force, task team, especially in dealing with specific issues. Because committees and task force are short-term establishment that are only established to deal with a certain issue. But when you have a think tank, when you have a think tank on public policy, when you have a think tank on legal affairs, that will be able to scrutinize. Imagine you have a think tank that specifically dealing with legal affairs. You have young lawyers there, you have senior professors who retired, you have former ministers of justice and trade, you put them together, then you have a think tank that is standing. Its focus is only on Namibian laws. By the time we are at the end of the year, some of these bills, some of these unfinished, not well debated, policies would have been done because the think tank would be able to have more time and test the effectiveness of those policies, the effectiveness of those bills, and do comparisons also with other bills, with other studies. And investment in a think tank is going in line with an investment in research and development, because if you have a lot of think tanks in the country, they are not only going to compete in terms of best data, but you have option and easy to make decisions. Because what is happening now, our main source of data is NSA. And NSA is overwhelmed. Now imagine you are making a practical decision about youth unemployment. You are still debating on the numbers because the latest, you are already in 2026, and the latest data that you have on unemployment in Namibia is census of 2023. And you are already far in terms of data. That's why things are not making up, because we are not investing in think tanks. We are not investing in research and capacity, because research was supposed to be at the center. We are not even supposed to invest not even 2% of the GDP, maybe 5. Because imagine if you have a think tank that is dealing with agricultural issues and food security. That is dealing with agricultural issues and agroeconomy. Then you will not have this contradiction to say how much have you produced in Etunda, how much have you produced in Sandy Kongola and many other green schemes. You would have data to say this is the suitable land for this one. This sector can produce this amount of fruits or amount of crops, and this is the trade. Then you have a think tank that is focusing on trade. Then when you have that, you will not have a lot of young people roaming around the street, because the entry position of a think tank is a graduate researcher that are at the forefront of collecting data. Then you have seniors at the top. Then you have retired the council themselves. Retired. Because you agree with me, and I think maybe that is also when maybe I got an example. One of the best things that Iran has done is utilization of its wisdom. Making sure that when you retire, you contribute, you still continue contributing to the national development. Iran has the Council of Foreign Affairs. When diplomats retire, they go there, either they start teaching or they start advising. That's why Iran was able to outperform everybody. Go to UN, look at UN debates, look at debates on this institution that is dealing with atomic and energy. Look at the UN debate at the World Economic Forum. They always outperform. Not really because they are smart, because they realize to say for them to move forward, they need to have a foundation. Why do you think a small country in the Middle East with just around 100 million population, a Muslim country, an Islamic state, a Muslim country, has an interest of the US? Why do you think it's like that? Why do you think Iran, out of all countries in the Middle East, Iran has sophisticated technology in terms of dealing with atomics and nuclear? Why do you think not Iraq? Because if you look at the history, Iraq was the most powerful country in that region, was even terrorizing almost everybody there. Why not Saudi Arabia? Why not Oman? Because this, what they did is that in their way of doing things, in their structure, they realized to say, knowledge is built on each other. I cannot stand here and say I know everything. Then I start forgetting people who taught me. And start forgetting people who taught me to be streetwise or to understand how people things are operating at the village. But what we have in our country, you have an economist coming from Harvard, you have an economist coming from Oxford, then you want to lecture everybody about how Namibian economy should work. Then you are wondering why things are not moving. Because we don't have a think tank. We don't have one Namibian standing think tank. Yes, we have IPPR that is doing almost everything. Then you have a Namibia Research Commission. It's not really a think tank. Then you have university centers within universities. But we are in need of wisdom. We are in need of experienced people so that they can guide us. Because ask yourself how many committees were appointed, were commissioned. Just ask yourself that question. How many committees were commissioned? How many task force Namibia has? And a lot of political analysts were saying, no, this task force is duplication of duties. How many advisory bodies have been there? Instead of having, because the good thing about the think tank is that they are not going to please you. A think tank will do calculation and say, no, we are going to a rabbit pit and we need to come back from there. Because if you have to wait for 5 years for you to realize that we made the wrong decision, then we are not going to work. We are still continuing having the same problem. people are debating in parliament. They are not on the same page because data are not enough. Some are debating based on experience. Some are debating based on current data. Some are debating based on persons. Some are even debating about the law itself to say this guy is not following the law. Because the law themselves need to be scrutinized by think tanks. We need those institutions immediately and currently, especially when we are speaking about moving toward industrialization. Because there is never industrialization which was driven without research. And I was listening to an Iranian former foreign minister was saying, you guys, you can continue bombing us. He said, you guys continue bombing us, but the knowledge is within our mind. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we can come back.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite ofoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are speaking about the importance of think tank in development. To say when you have a lot of think tanks within the different sectors in the country, then it's easier for leaders to collect data and make data-driven decisions, not a decision driven on opinion or decisions driven on mere general vague view. Or decision based on emotions, but decision based on data. Because if all of us, we can speak about, we have a problem in Namibia. All of us, we can speak about, we need to develop in Namibia. But not everybody is speaking about how we can do that. Not everybody is speaking about how we can do that. Because after identification of a problem, then there is a committee being identified. And maybe there will be another committee also to study the bill of Aiden Guest. Maybe there will be another committee. I don't wish that committee to be there. But why can't we have institutions that are assisting the state and also assisting private sectors and NGOs also to move forward? Why can't we invest in developmental research? Why can't we invest in long-term other than a task force and committees? Yes, committees, for now, they are good, but are they going to be sustainable? Think like this. If we have to go back to how Africans have been doing things, to say, you beat somebody, maybe you killed somebody, the elders are going to meet. The elders, they think, they go back and analyze where they come from. They look at who has the resources, where to get those resources, how sustainable is this, and also how to discipline you after. It's not only about paying the debts of a family, but also understanding where you are coming from. Now, imagine now, how do you expect, it's just a question, how do you expect to succeed in a changing of curriculum if, for example, you are coming up with new educational policies, and you are not consulting For example, Tatenaha Sangona, one of the first ministers of education, who understand the foundation of education. He may not be aware with new technology, but he is the founder of Namibian education system. Why do you think we are going to have an effective financial system if we are not going back and say, no, that Shedvin, what do you think about this? Now you are outside, what do you think about this? This person may be able to give you a painful advice, but it's going to work, obviously. Because the problem that we have is that think tank is also where you have a lot of debates about data. Because data alone, they cannot drive development. They need to be interpreted. And it's interpretation with a lot of examples, practical examples, that they will be able to allow you to make a prudent decision. Because if you want to transform Namibian education sector, at least consult the founders of Namibian education. They might be old, but the wisdom is still there to say, how I did it like this. Because if somebody come to Namibia from exile and found people exploited by Bantu Education Act and was able to transform, Nankol was formed, universities were built and all these things, this person still have that unique skills that you do not have because he was at the beginning of a certain system. That is exactly what needs to be done to say there must be a lot of think tanks in Namibia that harnessing wisdom. You see, somebody was a former commissioner in the police, very successful, then retired. The person just driving Rent Cruiser at the village and nothing to do. People become bored. But you have high rate of crimes in Venduk, in Swakop, and all these things. People are getting lost. Why can't you come up with an investigative advisory body that can be able to advise and assist these people? These people may be lacking in terms of the current technology, but their skills, their experience, you cannot measure them because they have seen life. And maybe that is what we are forgetting. Remember last year, SADC came up with a summit where they were putting together this, national planning institutions, especially to see how they can work together. It's quite a very good initiative to say this institution of planning must come together, and also SADC think tanks also, so that they can be able to assist in this development. Good morning.
David.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
That's the topic that you're talking about, think tank and all this other thing.
Yeah.
So is this thing left to the individually people themselves to organize, to plan and organize and coordinate their energy or whatever they have?
Mm-hmm.
So is it left for... Because I know the space is open there.
Yeah.
So is it now for somebody to drag them?
No, it's a very good question, so because think tanks, you may have a government think tank, then you can also have a private think tank. You can think tank in the form of NGO, but same role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, because I remember sometimes ago...
Because in Namibia, we only speak about political think tank, political party think tank. That is a think tank to execute the political strategy, not really to say at a broader scale.
Yes.
And also a think tank to keep the party surviving. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
Mm.
So because let's now do it in the... In the political, maybe we can only emulate the political formula.
But you have IPPR and few others. IPPR is a think tank also.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, no, this political is the party they have. But I'm now talking in general, you know, in apart from this political cycle. So it can really happen, because I remember.
But do they really have it, or do they only have experts? Because a think tank must be an established institution. Yeah, it must be an institution. Because that is called a think tank, but it's just an advisory. But a think tank is a standing institution.
Yeah.
And it's so not temporary.
Similar to the one that you were asking me yesterday about petroleum and all this amendment act and things like that. I followed up on that issue, and I found out that it may be working very well. Because the way I look at the roadmap and things like that, it sounds good, and I'm sure it can help. It can work. Maybe it will also work like the way the President Ramaphosa has done, and he's also looking for some other market and, you know, this other connection and things like that. So I think this thing can work. People themselves who have retired, I think they can also take it upon themselves and do some of the things. So like you are speaking now in the community structure. All these things, they can work.
Yeah.
If we can really put our minds and the effort there, I think all these things can work, and they will solve a lot of problems. Crimes, even in South Africa. Can you see how the system was being frustrated by criminals and things like that? Some of these things were identified not necessarily by the people who are in the, maybe in the government system, for example. But they were now working together and able to, you know, to tracking those clients and things like that. And then the system is now, you know, gaining credibility.
It's been cleaned. I think if the example which I gave to say, you want to get the Namibia financial system on standard. Why are you not calling, for example, because there is quite an interesting thing between somebody operating in the political space and somebody who is retired from a political space. Now, because in politics, you also need to look at the position that you have and also how people are reacting to you. But when somebody is out, let me say you ask a financial opinion from the former minister, either is... let's give an example of that, Shetvin. Karen Shetvin to say, no, how do you think we should handle this budget? Just for an example. Then you'll be able to give an advice to say, how I look at things, because now I'm an ordinary citizen, this is the direction. It can work, because
of course
wisdom is always there, because he will be able to see the whole picture now, because he's not in the midst of politics and all these things.
Yeah, because there you might have some fear.
Yeah.
You might have some fear of contradiction.
Yeah.
You think people will contradict the thing, even those who might not understand you well, you know, things like that might not move well.
Sometimes it's not just even fear of being misunderstood, it's just maybe the level of communication too. Because that is fast pace also at that level. And I give example to say, why do we have chaotic things happening where people are saying, no, this one are not admitted because they have grade 11. Did you consult the founder of Namibia education system, Tate Katusha? Did you contact him when you were coming?
Tate Katusha?
Yeah, did you contact him? Yeah, because he may know more than what we can imagine, because he was there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. No. That's why we thought we knew, then we end up fighting with each. How come an institution is not accepting, but these people are sitting in the same room?
The same room.
Yeah.
I think this to cut across the all sectors.
Yeah, yeah.
It includes even those who are unemployed.
Yeah.
Who are, you know, just graduated. And all these things, I think this structure can really be created and then be penetrated and implemented into across the many sectors. I think it's really a matter of willingness and see how we can. The problem is that we don't see the vision that you people are communicating to us.
Mm.
And when we are hearing these things, we think people are just talking.
Mm.
So it's really a matter of standing up and really creating some kind of structure that can really be, can yeah. respond to our needs.
Mm.
So maybe the political leaders and all these things, or the government or the state or whatever, especially when I was listening to Menetumbo, she was addressing these things, and she was talking about the cluster, the judicial, and all these things, and these people are also targeted. So they can also form up some kind of, they can come up with formation and really make some impact in our social and economic development.
And I think the president did something which is very good, and people don't speak about this thing. I also just found it now, especially commissioning the Association of Former Ambassadors. The records are indicating that it started 12 years ago when she was a Minister of Foreign Affairs, to say these guys that have served, they must come back and assist and advise and train these young people to get into affairs. This one, the young ones can know technology, but there is always ways that these guys have gone through. And it's quite a very good thing if you get it to could happen with all the ministries and maybe various institutions to say, when you are retired, you can still continue serving the nation in advisory capacity.
Even in China, where they have more, the population is so large.
Yeah.
They are also now, they have increased their retirement age.
Because you,
imagine this is because they see that these are, some of these, they have got expertise and all these other things that they can still contribute.
It's not about retirement, it's not employment, because you know what, if you are safe, if let me say you have a think tank of on economic affairs, then you have these young researchers from university, then you have experts, you have your PhD holders here, then you have data collectors and all these guys, then you have experts who can come and go. Then you have an advisory council, because there is always an advisory council that is there when things get tough. Because when things, let me say, economy gets so tough, then no economic degree will assist you. You have to go back and ask a person who have faced that system before. You understand?
No.
Yeah, because there are things that require only wisdom and experience.
Exactly.
Maybe sometimes you just need to calm down and wait for the time to pass instead of implying all your formulas that you have learned from school.
You see now?
Yeah, because I
think we can keep talking on these things, and I'm just, the problem is that we do not organize ourselves.
Who is not organizing himself?
Our ordinary people, our student.
But that is too general now.
I mean, let's say the category that you have just spoken, all these people can still organize themselves, bring their heads together, and form up those kind of structures, and they can be acceptable. I don't think they can be rejected.
But when they come to you, you say you are old, go home.
No. You organize, the old ones will organize themselves. And then present their proposal to before the those who might say you are old, go home. Because if you go there as an individual, they might tell you that.
Okay, thank
you. Welcome, sir.
All right. Yeah, it's 13 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. Ask yourself this question: what do developed countries do with their experts? I remember watching one documentary, especially of 9/11, to say when the U.S. was attacked by the Al-Qaeda terrorists, there was a lot of confusion, but there was an old guy by the name Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger is popularly known to be an advisor to most of the president in the US. And that time he was old, but he was known to be a practical thinker. Then George W. Bush went to, he said, "No, guys, I'm overwhelmed, but bring me Kissinger at the White House." Because you realize to say, even the US themselves, they know to say, it's not about the position, it's about you understanding that there's somebody who is better than you who can come and assist you. And it's not only about an individual too. There are also a lot of councils. You look at councils of foreign relations in the U.S., centers of peace and studies, centers of, various think tanks on trades and economics. And when a decision is made, when you see this AGOA going up and down, don't just think it's just Trump's decision. But let's come back after it.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yeah, and that is what's happening. If you look, for example, in South Africa, you have South Africa Institute of International Affairs, SAIA, you have Mapungubwe Institute of Strategic Reflection, you have Institute for Security Studies, you have Industrial Development Think Tank, you have South African Social Policy Research, you have Institute for Global Dialogue, you have Mandela Institute for Development Studies, NWU Business Schools, think tanks, and many others. And if there is a problem in Africa, I mean in South Africa, if there is a problem on development affairs, all these institutions, they can embark on parallel studies. Then they bring data for comparison. Then policymakers, their job is just to pick the data and also look at the recommendations. Then easy to implement. Why do you think whatever happening in South Africa, the country is not collapsing? The country is not collapsing because there are tanks of wisdom. There are tanks of wisdom. So sometimes you only see the decision is being done. There was a time Cyril Ramaphosa apparently wanted to resign. That time of, how do they call it? Palapala case, the time. Then the ANC said, "No, there are a lot of things that we need to do. We need to sit and call the elders. The elders must sit." Then there was a closed door meetings for, I think, people, and the whole media was waiting to say, "No, the decision is going to be done." Where I said, "No, because of for the long term of the country, before things got, they weigh up the options. They call the old legal guys and all these things to say, no, now the head of state is overwhelmed and there's a situation like this. What is the most practical things to be done moving forward?" You have the head of think tanks who are saying, no, long term is like this. I'm not saying he did a good job because he did not do. But I'm saying there are points where even that who you entrusted with the responsibility is also finding it very difficult because the person is just a human being. But who do you go to? You go to those who have seen the journey. You go to those who have been there. But now you have a curriculum. Then somebody is saying, "I'm only accepting this one." Somebody is saying, "Unless you did this one." Then you ask, where are the founders of Namibian education? Why are you not consulting them? Why are we abandoning those who build institutions? How many business schools in Namibia have called Namibian local entrepreneurs to go and give their presentations? Why should I have a public lecture with somebody with a PhD from Singapore coming to Namibia and present about entrepreneurship? Why you have a lot of entrepreneurs in Namibia who can come and give their practical presentations? Maybe we'll also be able to change the curriculum of business. Why we produce a lot of business people, but we have less successful businesses in Namibia. But yeah, it's a question that we need to continue asking, and also maybe find a way to say, okay, if we want to fight money laundering, do we understand it? Which think tank is assisting the police? Which think tank is assisting the ACC? Which think tank is assisting the FIC? Or they have to do their own studies, they do their own investigation, then they go and arrest people, then they go in court. That's why these investigators are very tired. And we don't have a lot of months before May. Let's see. And let's hope that by the time we reach May, I will be removed from that embarrassing gray listing by Financial Action Task Force. And yeah, let's move forward. Let us look at what they have in the Villager newspaper. And after that, then we can be able to listen to HD and also to look at Collier, especially looking at business development and also technology. But for now, let us look at what is in the Villager newspaper after a very short commercial break. What is in the Villager newspaper for today? What worth not missing out, especially this Friday, this morning.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 22 minutes past the hour 7, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Let us look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. And it's very interesting. You can get on top of the Villager newspaper. On top of the Villager newspaper. 3,230 illegal Tiba planks seized in Kavango regions. It's an article by my colleague Anakrita Hekela, especially speaking about Tiba planks, Ipirangi. They are seized in Kavango regions by the authority. And the Kavango West and East Chief Forester, John Mwikingi, revealed to the Villager newspaper on Wednesday that between April and December 2025, authorities confiscated 3,230 illegal harvested Tiba planks in two Kavango regions. That is the wealth of our country. And the question is, who is behind this illegal, harvesting of timber? Who is behind this? Where are they being sold to? And also, who tend to benefit from this 230 timber planks, Ipirangi. Who did that? And who is responsible? And who benefit from this, because most of the things that you see, and we don't discuss this, even, you know, you look at, for example, poaching, you understand that there's no way an ordinary Namibia can have a high-caliber weapon that has advanced binocular, has a map, and has all this equipment. And you're asking yourself, who tend to benefit this? Is this organized crime? And are we only looking at the poacher, or we are also looking at the main guy who is pulling the strings? Because at the end of the day, you see, just find an ordinary person who does not even know what is the value of an elephant tusk or a rhino horn, but it's part of a bigger game. Find Namibia harvesting timber, but it's not being sold here. And when you go and look at the house of this person, maybe he does not even have a house, but it's business. And also to say, the debate of saying who is corrupt, is African people being corrupted, or they are corrupt themselves? Because you have to look at the mastermind at some point to say, who is benefiting? Where are these things being sold to? Do those guys who we are selling to understand that we are getting these things illegal from here? And the machines that are being used are coming from where? Because we need to expand beyond that. Because if you're only catching a small fish, you understand that the shark is still there, sending the small fish to get them food, then we are not going to solve the problem. It's the same case with poaching. To say, why are we only looking at the bigger picture? I mean, why are we not looking at the bigger picture? We are looking at the small guys. An ordinary guy who did not even own anything, being caught in the center of Kashana, of Etosha National Park, with a gun that maybe was made in Russia, in America, or in Iran, and maybe with a gun which is worth of 100,000, but you're asking yourself to say, is this the real guy, or there is a main guy behind this small man? But yeah, that is what's happening. Read the Villager newspaper. Look at page 3. Then you look at university, Valvicha University, Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, to say application is extended. Application is extended. Let us go and study. Let us go and become lawyers. Let us go and become legal researchers. Let us go and become project managers. Let us go and become teachers. And let us go and become expert in monitoring and evaluation. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education at Valvicha University is offering certificate in project management, certificate in supply chain, diploma legal studies, diploma project management, diploma supply chain management, bachelor's of science project management, supply chain law, education, business administration. And guys, let's go and study, because education is subsidized. Education is subsidized. Nobody should have an excuse to go and study. Let's go get those qualifications, and most importantly, get that content. And yeah, page 4, 92 billion of GIPF pension savings invested locally. There's an article by my colleague Lois Eshimi, especially speaking about investment of GIPF. We speak a lot about GIPF, but we need to also look at what is that money being invested into? What projects are there? And we are speaking about an institution which is handling the center of national assets in the country. And we need to look into that. Page 5, there's an article by David Shombe that is looking at Venduk Informa businesses crippled by credit in January. We took a study, went into the field and also look at some of the business people, especially in the Informa market, to look at how did they survive January. And you must be able to understand that after a lot of people have closed down in December, January is a time that especially casual workers, especially those who are working on hustling, is a resuming of work. And some of these people, or majority of these people, they depend on weekly payment. And who suffer in January is an informal business. Either it's those who are selling clothes, those who are selling perfumes, cosmetics, and also those who are selling foods. And you need to understand how things are going through, especially looking at informal businesses. And you also need to understand to say the informality, the informal economy, how many people are employed in the informal economy. And when these guys, they suffered due to, credit, people are taking credit, because if you are all hustling, I come to your tax shop, I need to bread, my kids are suffering. And tomorrow I come, I want eggs, but I only have $20. Then you see that's how business suffer. But let us look at NHP, and we'll look at the conversation of HD. Then we can also conclude with, the villager on what is left.
If you lost your show, all of Taliku Tungupo, Omawa O Tomono, Okutako NHP, Genge wa longi fire longi foli lipedu lo wa wo haku, Olo halipiti kwa efikune fiku, Mefiloshi shelo haku oe, Owa washimali wa shosha hupako, Washika wet delwa kom to alando akashi, Koma punglo ena shano unjolo welewe, Otodulo kulongi fa omawa oe, Wa hupuko, Opouna miti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi, Okufutila po oimali wa ishona, Oyo hodulo okupolwa, Ulifutila ovemwene, Omayakulo olu hapu, Hakalaina kwa telwa, Mowa we kwa folo elo unamiti, Ile, otodulu no kuli, Okupitifapo e mwe didonumba, Tokala inofuta ea kulolo elo unamiti. Kowia lele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fwana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined by Leith Collier, who is the Managing Director of Pink Elephant over in South Africa. Leith, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Great. The sun is shining. I cannot complain.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you once again for making time for us today. So let's get right into it. Please give us an overview of your career journey and what your role entails today.
Great. So, yes, my career journey has largely comprised of service management, but very much specifically around how technology supports people, processes, and business outcomes. Mm-hmm. So I started out in service delivery and sales, working closely with customers, seeing how technology can either enable a business or actually frustrate a business. Over time, I've moved into leadership roles, and the focus has been on building sustainable services, mm-hmm. stronger teams, and a scalable operation. Today, yes, I am the Managing Director of Pink Elephant South Africa. My role is about setting direction, giving or ensuring execution of consulting, managed services, education, mm-hmm. and ultimately making sure that technology investments translate into value.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Leith, for the listeners, can you explain what information technology service management entails and why it is crucial for businesses, particularly in the Southern African context, as the region continues to embrace digitalization?
Sure, sure. So IT service management is essentially about how IT delivers services to the business. It's not just about how systems run. Mm-hmm. So it includes things like incident management, change management, and service desks, as well as governance of those. But the real purpose is to create consistency, your accountability, and the reliability of how those technologies support operations. Mm-hmm. From Southern Africa perspective, it's important that organizations understand what service management is, because everything has an expectation around digitization.
Yeah.
And often that's happening with limited resources, right? So without proper service management, digitization can actually increase your risk, your cost, and even your downtime.
Yeah.
So good ITSM helps organizations stabilize their operations. It uses people more effectively, and it just builds that trust in technology, which is all critical to growth.
So there's also a cybersecurity element to ITSM?
There is. There is a focus around the governance of IT, and in that governance, yes, cybersecurity is absolutely relevant. And your organization reliability on that.
I see. So last year we published an article in the Villager newspaper that you contributed to where next-gen service desks were mentioned. Break that down for the listeners and why organizations on the continent should make use of this.
Okay, great. Yeah, so if you think about traditional service desks, they are very reactive. Mm-hmm. So something breaks, you log a ticket, someone fixes it. For the next gen of service desks, it's about proactivity and experience-driven outcomes. It uses the data that's already within your systems, the automation and the analytics of that data to prevent issues, reduce the noise, and focus on the outcomes rather than just the volume. Okay. So for organizations across the continent, this is important. Where skills are scarce and teams are under pressure, customer expectations are, of course, rising. So the next gen of service desks allows organizations to do more with the same or fewer resources while improving their service quality. But just to be clear, it's not about replacing people. It's about enabling people to focus on higher value work than the repetitive tasks.
So essentially they identify problems before they even happen.
Absolutely. And those repetitive tasks become automated within the systems that allows individuals to be higher skilled and offer higher value in work.
Okay. Now, Leith, before we continue, can you just briefly tell the listeners what exactly does Pink Elephant do?
Sure. So we are at our core a service management company. We offer best practice frameworks from an education level. So we do training in best practice frameworks, and those are around service management, governance, project management, service desk analyst courses. Those same frameworks then translate into how we consult and implement those best practice frameworks in our customers' environments. So we have a consulting element to us.
Yeah.
And then we as a company run managed services. So for companies that don't want to run the best practice, the processes and the service desking, we can run it for our customers. And then we have technology that supports that same best practice. That's our complementary offering.
I see. So let's chat about the ITSM trends for 2026. What do you foresee happening in the industry this year?
Yes, so I was thinking about this one, and I think that the bigger theme is the maturity of service management over hype, right? Mm-hmm. So what we should start seeing is a shift towards integrated platforms rather than disconnected tools, moving away from service-level agreement-driven thinking into experience-led service management.
Okay.
As we were talking earlier, so governance is also a focus. Cyber risk, compliance, operational resilience, those all mean for organizations that you need to take your process discipline seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then another exciting shift in the market is the launch of ITIL 5, which is one of the frameworks and disciplines that support service management. And this reflects how the industry is evolving. It's taking value-driven service management, and it recognizes AI as the enabler within IT service management. And it shouldn't be seen as a bolt-on or replacement for people. Yeah. It's the evolving of that industry. So ultimately for 2026, you'll see smarter services, better integration, stronger governance, and AI is used to better support decision-making.
I've heard you now mention a few times that some of these things aren't meant to fully replace humans. Is this a common misconception within the IT service management industry?
I believe so. I think that because what we're seeing at an AI level is technology overtaking certain roles.
Yeah.
And that's where we are driving the narrative that upskill your teams, upskill your people to be able to drive the technology that already has the AI embedded in it. So if you understand how that works within your job role, then you will become a more highly valued individual. Mm-hmm. So don't just sit doing those repetitive tasks. Take on the thinking around that, the thinking around the AI component of AI agentic agents and things like that, mm-hmm. and become that high-valued individual that knows how these systems work.
Lastly, let us dive a little bit deeper into the AI conversation. What role does AI play in IT service management, and what advice would you give to business owners out there in regards to AI adoption into their daily operations?
So AI is already playing a major role in service management, mm-hmm. from virtual agents, chatbots, intelligent routing to predictive analytics and automation. But AI isn't the magic switch. If your data and your processes are poor, AI will simply amplify those problems. So my advice to business owners is to start with the business problem, not necessarily the technology. So start there. Be clear about what you want to improve, whether it's cost, speed, experience, or resilience, and then apply AI deliberately. And again, more importantly, bring your people along. AI should augment human capability, not replace it. Organizations that get the balance right will absolutely see the value.
100%. Leith, is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners before I let you go this morning?
No, just thank you for having us on the show, and we appreciate it. We would love to have anybody reach out to us. We can create and custom make your journey along the service management route. So from the education, the processes, through to your own service desk, if you have one, or you're working in a service desk, even in IT, our offering is quite expansive, mm-hmm. but it's quite niche too. So we would love to hear from anyone that would want to reach out.
And just let people know where and how they can reach Pink Elephant.
Sure. So our website is, of course, www.pinkelephant.co.za. Our details are on the website, and that's probably the quickest way to get us.
Excellent, excellent. Leith, thank you very much for your time, and have a great day ahead.
Thank you so much, Hende. You too.
Yeah, that was HD and Miss Leith from Pink Elephant. IT management system, and also spoke on AI and also business development, and also to say artificial intelligence is not here to replace people, but it's for businesses to understand what they want and focus first on the problem before using AI. Do you want to solve the speed? Is it the effectiveness? And she indicated that take people along, because at the end of the day, AI should not be a threat to everybody. AI should not be a threat, but what you need to understand, and what the experts are indicating, is to say, no matter the advancement of technology, you still need a human being to operate that technology. And that is why it's always very important to understand, to say, how should I equip myself and also survive within the changing world of technology? And also to say, machines are not operating themselves, because the one thing that make us unique is that they do not have emotions. They are not thinking, they are programmed, and they are controlled by human beings. And the advancement of robotics does not become a threat to individuals, but look at how you can use them. And one thing I also got from Leith is that when you are speaking about using of AI, especially with data analytics, if your data are not in order, don't wait for AI to put your data in order, because you need to make sure that if you have your data in order, then AI will be able to assist you. But if you just wait for AI to do everything for you, then it will also make things worse, because these are programmed machines. But we should never run away from technology, because that is where we are going, and should not be a threat, but an opportunity. People should not run away from technology, but use that as an opportunity. So from there, we'll continue with the conversation, especially in finalizing what is in the Villager newspaper for today, especially looking at business development, we indicate to save a Vishya School of Law, Commerce, is, and also Education. They have extended their application, and if you want to become a lawyer in Namibia, well, Vishya is here for you. Bachelor's of Law, LLB. From there, you go and write your bar exam or JTC. Then you become an admitted lawyer. You become a prosecutor, magistrate, or judge, or just dream about becoming judge one day. Or maybe a chief justice. Or you don't want to be at that level. Dream about becoming that and improve that. And yeah. Let's look at the short commercial break, then we can move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of
its. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly,
go shoprite e u vane go jetaro ge go pitropo o na uri mo pumbe o kene o dura ke gemu ya nwari o ino shironga mi pumbi wanga shi e pakete ju magine go right brand long life o di tere mo gerimo ga mano ko dure sere no longo no we no sendo mi no go we no we o ke jinta no dori shiro king ro forgeta ta ko dro mi no go heta tu no we no sendo mi no go we no we tare na pano shoprite po bi pinango e dere piku sa januari no fandisa zingi ziriko si go ga heta tu ga februari no vo shoprite ko andando di pevi to vuro ku ine kira.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, looking at page... page 6... University of Namibia, especially undergraduate students, stated that register now, sign a repayment plan regardless of your historic debt. And it's quite a very good development, especially from University of Namibia there. Say if you are in debt as a student, you don't need to stress yourself. You need to go and register, go to school. Do not stay at home. If you are in debt, go to school. However, you also need to come up with, a payment plan, a repayment plan, regardless of how your sins are, how your debts are. Go to University of Namibia and continue with your education. And register, sign a repayment plan, regardless of historic debts. And it's like a biblical version to say, no matter how dark your sins are, you'll be assisted. But in this case, University of Namibia has that plan. And, credit must be given, especially to the Namibia education system, because there's a lot of improvement. These things were never there when we were at university. And you cannot see, no matter the challenges, Namibia, there are things that we should be proud of, especially in accommodating the need. To say we just need to accelerate a little bit, especially on the pace of assisting the needy. So page 7, the local university planning their own AI policies. When you talk about artificial intelligence, you talk about robotics, there is an article by my colleague Dwight Links that is looking at local policy and local universities and AI. Yeah. Looking at page 8 of the Villager newspaper, foreign investment or caution. This is an opinionated paper. It's opinionated paper. That is cautioning foreign investment in agriculture and food security and striking a balance between export revenue and food security. There's an opinionated paper there. Get time and read the opinionated paper, especially looking at foreign investment in agriculture, and also looking at what is the view, especially between export revenue and food security. And the discussion of food security should not end. It's the same way with the discussion of energy, because if we are not pressing that issue, food security and energy, then we must forget about Vision 2030, because we need to get two things right. If we are able to feed ourselves, then we can promote our local products. But if we have our own energy, then we can be able to industrialize. Is food security, is energy, sustainability of energy production, that should be the discussion. Because if we are not able to have those two, then Vision 2030 will continue to be a dream, but not a vision that we are looking up to. Good morning.
David, I have to come back again because of that interview.
Yes.
And they also end with thank God for the management style or leadership with UNAM.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of debt, this debt plan.
They say no matter how dark your sins are. I think I need to revisit that context.
No, the problem for us, I'm telling you, for us, the problem is that when you just started with your class, your lesson, your
yeah,
school,
yeah,
especially yourself and many of others.
Mm.
You just supposed to start with the Bible.
Come again?
So when the Constitution become your pocket book.
Yeah.
So the Bible must be now maybe 2 miles away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that every day you read the scripture.
Mm.
Just like you read your criminal book, whatever, or your management book, or your any other.
Mm-hmm.
So especially the way we are now being educated here.
Mm-hmm.
Our organizations, the things that we are talking about this morning, service management, and all these things, they are.
Yeah.
You got it, my friend. So that's why I'm saying, it's at least it's not only for those with wisdom as of now.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of graduates there.
Mm.
So those ones whom you can now manage, those are the ones that you can manage, because the problem is not really even the political level or whatever will there many a times.
Yeah.
But the way we do things. You know, talk about yesterday night I was watching about the news.
Mm.
The Okukuna farm, the Tunda, and one can think about the resettlement farms.
Yeah.
That are now perhaps given to the citizen to settle there and all do things. Because we have already known that the problem is the skill. How people should produce their food in those farms and then sell to the country and export.
Mm-hmm.
Export Mapungu like I saw there. And those people are being managed. Those who are farming there on their small scale and all these other things and the thing. So
how did we incorporate AI into our farming? Or we are still using traditional farming?
Yes. It's an opportunity we can. So I didn't get the number. I mean the website.
Mm-hmm.
I was just writing chaka. You know me. So you had to understand me.
Just search Pink Elephant. Pink Elephant IT company.
Oh, it's like pink the color.
Yeah, the elephant is pink.
Oh, so Pink Elephant. Okay, Pink Elephant. www. got the things there. So I'll get it.
Okay,
so listen,
okay, yeah.
So now let me then conclude and say yes. Just a minute.
Mm.
So let me then conclude and say yes. We can now diversify the IT, the technology, all those softwares and all these things that have been expanded to us. And now organize those young ones, the accountants, the especially you guys. Because we are the ones to pave the way and guide us and all these things. Not only you don't just bring the draft proposal and things like that. There are a lot. We have resources for people here. The people that the president is talking about. He's just giving you that this can be done. If you cannot do it in your own sector. In your own sector, because poverty, youth, and everything is there. Poverty is a cross-cutting issue in all sectors.
Yeah.
So the president has just given you the roadmap to say this one can also be done in any other sector of economy. Look at the way the potential is. IT now.
Yeah.
That you do that, and then people start popularizing those products and all these things. He said that we are told African organizations should take up the thing by upskilling yourself, the institution like you are talking about, establish some of these institutions. It is up to us. Organize yourself.
Indeed.
Now that the UNAM has also given us, we thank God to pardon our sin for
but
now.
But you know where the problem we have in Namibia, when we are given things for free, we are taking them for granted. When something becomes for free, it becomes like it does not have value. When something is expensive, we say government must do this. But that is also, I think it's a mentality that we have. All of us, we must be blamed for this to say resources are vile, to say, okay, medical care in Namibia is almost for free, especially public medical care. But people, we are still taking it for granted. Other countries, people are paying a lot of money. When it comes to education also, maybe it's also time to be taught the value of things, to say, this is how much it costs, this is what it means. Even when you start saying, no, education is free, a person can come and go and say, no, I will still have time to be funded.
Yeah,
people lose energy in free things.
Yeah, it's this one because we are told that, is this because of the, but we are told the compliance came in. Clearly there.
Okay.
Because most of these things are also not clear. So when the interview was going on there, he mentioned about the compliance. So most of these things, we take them for granted, and it's true. We don't do that because of the dependent theory that we have been. You know, it's a colonial mentality kind of.
But we are not colonized anymore. We are 36 years. Please.
No. I'm saying now that because of the philosophy of Mbunde and all these other things, and that was actually that's the aim. Even here, if you talk about food security now, we have got our land. We have got the thing. We can also organize ourselves in our family, but are taking things for granted and not even paying these things. It's because we are told that yes, so you must just be keep on feeding from your mother and your father all along, all the time.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We have around 1 minute before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401, so that you can be able to give your content contribution, especially when it comes to issues of development. And speaking about free things, it's like, you know, in Namibia there's really something that we need to work on, especially when something is given to to us for free. When something is given to us for free, we like to take them for granted. But for those who follow international affairs, you know, the former president of Botswana is coming to Namibia. He's coming to Namibia, especially giving a public lecture. That is, of course, Dr. Masisi. Dr. Masisi is a former president of Botswana. Former president of Botswana. Dr. Masisi, former president of Botswana. Mogwesi Masisi. And he has been a president of Botswana from 2018 to 2024. And at one point he was a vice president and so a student of economics. Student of economics and looking at his role after leaving power. So one of he used to be a very good friend of our late president, Dr. Geingob, and he is coming to speak on Namibia-Botswana relation, past, present, and future. That will be on Monday at the University of Namibia, and it's quite a very interesting thing to look into, to listen, and also maybe attend, because he was not only a president, but he's an academic, and he was the head of delegation, especially the AU observation mission to Tanzania, that has observed the election of or re-election of or cementing of leadership of Mme Samia Suluhu Hassan. And Masisi will come to Namibia. It is quite interesting to look at the content and also to see that what we have been speaking about, to say when somebody retired from politics, these people have seen life, have traveled the world. They still have wisdom of what they can give. And these are some of the public lectures that should be attended so that we can learn one or two things, because this person will speak as a citizen and you get the picture. So, for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. Enjoy your Friday morning. And I'll leave you in the good hands of the Big Mike to unpack the day. Bye-bye. See you around.